Welcome, everyone. It's another week, and it's another week to review what happened on wrestling this week. It's the Wrestling Show. I'm Cav Manning, along with Mr. Billy Body. How are you, Billy Boy?
Yeah, I'm all right. Not too bad. I just actually finished Raw. When I said to you earlier, you said I'm going to be ready in half an hour.
Sure.
I have this half of Raw to do, so...
You know, it's going to be interesting to get your thoughts, because I read a couple things that you'd said about Raw this week, and I think we'll have a debate on it, actually. You were not thrilled.
Oh, you mean in the group chat? Right, I saw on Twitter. Yeah. No.
So you're not thrilled about them having an audience, quote-unquote.
I do want an audience. I just think that it could have been done better. I don't know why there's fucking bulletproof glass around there, which is dumb. And I don't understand why these poor fuckers need to be standing up the whole time. And I don't know why they need to be shown throughout it. And they don't need to fake cheer for all the promos and stuff. Everything that WWE do is too produced and too forced. The way AEW done it was fine. You didn't even barely notice. All of a sudden, there's wrestlers in the crowd, mm-hmm. and they're getting at the right times, and they're bantering during the matches, and if they do need to cheer for promos, they'll cheer for promos. But it just seems more organically done. And to have these guys standing up the whole time, it just looks awkward and weird. I would have actually just had the seats out and just had them sitting in the seats. And then I don't understand why it's so difficult to just have the arena full of seats and just have somebody sitting every two seats. It's really not that fucking difficult, and it will sound a lot better. And I don't know what the bulletproof glass is about. And they also are doing too much of that, basically, where it comes across as somebody's holding up an applause sign, but it's not. It's them following the instructions of how the crowd beforehand, which means it's totally unorganic. Yeah, it's better than no crowd, but I don't know how you fucked this up.
You know, it's funny because AEW has been doing it for, you know, since it started with and I prefer the way they do it, because they have the good guys on one side, bad guys on the other. So you actually do get bad guys cheering for bad guys. Like, it's the old school shit. And
that's the part that I don't like on AEW. Not because it's good guys and bad guys split, but just because of the fact that you know who the good guys and the bad guys are. Therefore, I feel like they lose star power by being in the crowd, because you would never put a real star in the crowd. Undertaker and Cena and Orton and Edge and people like that are not going to sit in a crowd, sure, no matter what. So if you're in a crowd, you're not a star, and it's very difficult to make you believable as a star at any point. So that's the problem with it. It degrades certain members of your roster, and WWE are not doing that. It's better that they put out these nobodies that nobody knows. I prefer that, but I just don't understand why they're doing it like this.
The bulletproof glass, I did giggle by, because they make a point now, and if you obviously recall from your old articles about that, they won't mention old COVID, they won't talk about it, all that kind of stuff, like Vince is fighting them. And now it's like they have to say it, and they have to go, they've all been tested, and now they're all in here 6 feet apart. Meanwhile, you saw them all start to gather around each other when there was like entrances. You saw them bundle up together. And I'm like, so, okay, well, everyone's safe here. Then why do you need the fucking glass? You imagine there is glass in between the fucking ramp and the crowd. It's like that was stupid to me that they would actually have glass, and that they would actually have the plexiglass in front of the ring on camera side, because you don't need anybody over there. And so,
you know what's fucking,
go ahead.
You know what's really fucking dumb? So it's supposed to be, I don't know what it's supposed to be a preventative of, because the disease is not airborne, but if they are going to continue this there with live crowds, you're actually putting something there, which is a extra carrier of the virus. Like, you have something there.
It'll stick to it when they cough.
For the virus, yeah, exactly. You have something for the virus to live on, as opposed to hit dying wherever else it would be. Now, previously, it would just be transferable in the toilets and the seats and basically around the building through turnstiles, etc. Mm-hmm. But now transferable through the plexiglass that you put up, which is dumb because it doesn't need to be there. Like, who are you protecting? Unless this is something where they turn around and said, oh, yeah, we've always, our performers have always been worried about being fucking shot like JFK.
I laughed at, like, everybody, of course. It was, I think they're trying to train the real audience for the day they come back by saying, okay, everyone cheer for this person, everyone boo this person. And they're going that route because you see one of those, that skinny horsewoman who looks like a horse with the tattoos. You see her cheering for the good guys and going crazy. And you wonder how uncomfortable must they all be having to, like, jump up and down and, you know, be all, you know, excited and fake excited. Because if I was told at this age now, I need you to go out there and jump up and down and cheer, that would be a rough fucking task. Because now I could sit at a fucking arena and just sit and watch and applaud. I'm not jumping up and down, probably because I'm a fucking adult now. But to watch that was odd, and to have everybody wearing T-shirts of who they support was interesting too. But I did giggle about that. Everybody standing, like you said, they could just have the seats and, you know, everyone sit around. But at the same time,
as well, they're all showing him go woo 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 and all this. It's like, shut the fuck up, like just cheer when you really would. I don't understand why they needed to be produced
constantly. It's cheering before the shows start, you know, when they used to have Finkel like rev up the crowd with his hand in the air, come on everybody, get loud. That's what they were, you know, doing the whole time. But I'll tell you, compared to what we've had, I will take this 100 times, faults and all. I will take this so many more times than zero.
But do you think they'll look at it and clean this up the way that they changed the they copied AEW and changed the ring around?
I do. I think they will clean it. I think it's a thing in learning and, you know, over time. And
but do you know they taped Raw, SmackDown, and NXT over and some other shows across 10 hours, and then they had breaks for guys to sit down. It's like they bought in chairs for them to have sit down breaks. It's like, well, I don't understand why they couldn't stay in the chairs. What was the need?
Well, do you think it's because it makes it look like less people when they sit down? You can't see them as much?
Then get more people.
Well, like, now you're talking logically.
The social distancing is the only rule now that needs to apply. Mm-hmm. As long as the social distance, the whole thing about less, the thing that fucked Mania, remember I said, I had a story and said that before Mania was even announced that they're going to be doing it at a performance center and they're going to be doing it with the people that are already booked their trips down to the Hall of Fame. So mm-hmm. I said that it would be a crowd of around about 100 WWE legends and they would have to social yeah. distance. Right. So that was all scrapped by Trump saying that there was to be no gatherings of over 50 people, which meant that they couldn't do it. Mm-hmm. And I think even eventually that was reduced to 10 before Mania. So that's all out. So now the last rule, I believe, is social distancing. So at this point, do you not have enough talents to fill this up? And can you not mix it in with talents and your super fans or whoever? They must have some kind of database of people that they reach out to come in and do documentaries or whatever. I don't know, but there's got to be a way to get this fuller without necessarily having to sell tickets. Even if you're getting like family members and things in there, mm-hmm. like no one's gonna make a difference.
Yeah, I mean, it, like you said, as long as it's like every two seats, I mean, and like we said, they have to officially, by, you know, their bullshit PC, it has to be that 6 feet. But after the show starts, it doesn't matter because everybody started bundling together at the fucking entrance. So
I, you know me, I just want to be done with it anyway. So I would just start selling the tickets now, and I would just go ahead. Okay, maybe like the one seat gap, and people need to, mm-hmm. I mean, that was the thing, the biggest thing was, is that it's just typical WWE. They just came up with something that made no sense. Nobody told them to put a bulletproof glass, and nobody told them to have people standing. But they did the standing thing with the social distancing, whereas parks like Disney and Universal have reopened, and their rule is social distancing with a mask. So they didn't have anybody in a mask, which is one of the things that they should have done with this crowd. Like, they should have had guys sitting down with a one-seat gap, organically engaging and possibly wearing a mask if you wanted to be super safe. I, again, wouldn't bother with that either. But it just seems like they're in their own bubble with their own set of rules. This coronavirus to Vince McMahon is what he's decided it is, not what it actually is.
Yeah.
I don't get the glass thing. I'm trying to understand what that is for.
Yeah, the glass did bother me, and I think that's them trying to go PC over the top. Like, you know, not only look how much care we took, we tested people, plus we had plexiglass. They're, you know, obviously they're full. I don't believe for a minute that they tested those fucking people that are standing there. You telling me all of them?
AW testing, WWE on.
Because WWE said specifically last night, all of them have been tested before this. So that's why I was like, well, why do you need the fucking glass then if they're all tested? And then why even stand apart? Everyone's clear. So who cares? Then it's going to be that asymptomatic bullshit. But I liked having some chatter. I liked having a little bit of something at least in the fucking background. And like we said, like if you're saying certain places, I mean, it depends on what state is open or not. All this shit would have to be in Florida. But having space between everybody, but then it'd be like the seat behind you can't have anyone either. And what if it's a household? You get to have a block together, but then you have to spread out. It'd almost have to be like selling tickets individually and like placing people and not just go to Ticketmaster and order. It would be like, well, if you have four people, the next available seat's now going to be down here. Like, it's not already laid out. It's a lot of fucking, it's a lot of work for fucking the flu.
I don't think that you sell tickets in specific places. I think you just sell a number. And mm-hmm. then when they get there, you just first come, first serve. You tell them where they're sitting. TNA did it for 10 years. The Universal facility, you didn't have a ticket for that. You just jumped in the queue, and that was it. And you just came in there, and they told you where to sit.
Mm.
Simple thing to do. It's not difficult. I mean, and this has to be the way forward temporarily for most places where you sell a certain number. Now, when you come to certain buildings, you can have a tiered pricing where they sell a certain number of hundreds, a certain number of 200s. And a certain number of floors. And then when you get there, you space out. That makes sense. Obviously, with floor tickets, they're done by row. So I would basically have that as a first-come, first-served situation online where you do set it out so that you're making... The thing is with floor seats, you put them down. So you can put them down with the gaps anyway. They're not already in there.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you have the 100 sections, you just basically sell... 5,000 out of 10,000, and you do the same with the 200 section. You sell 5,000 out of 5,000 out of 10,000, and then that's it. You have a 12,000 people in the building instead of whatever you normally would have. It's just not what I want to do anyway, because I just want this to be done with. But if you have to like build it up slowly, which is what they need to seem to be doing, then that's the way to do it. I think SummerSlam is going to go ahead with fans, because the way that this thing's moving, I mean, the NFL are saying they're going to go ahead with fans. And
I haven't heard that they said they were going with fans. I just heard there was going to be empty stadiums.
No, I don't think so.
I heard also like they were going to pipe in fucking crowd noise. I said, oh my God. I mean, you know what? Home field would mean zero. So all of Seattle's home games, why, who cares? You'd be like, well, I'm not scared to go to Seattle now. Nobody's there.
Well, we're seeing it. I'm in a fucking terrible mood because we've just seen it in the German a football league, the home team. Okay, so today four more matches are played, and another home team didn't win. So it's 13% of the home teams have won so far.
Oh wow!
Out 22 matches, and there's five more tomorrow. So that'd be three rounds of games. There's nine rounds per game so far. Only three home teams have won. They can't win at home. It makes no the home ground makes no difference.
Yeah, fact, yeah, it's like playing on a moon.
Yeah. So some reason, in fact, even like the better teams are actually losing at home. So it just makes no sense. I don't understand what's going on there. But I think with the NFL, it's more. It's always more of a level up anyway. Where you always get teams. There's just a few that have a real big home advantage, like the Patriots, who really know how to use it. But and New Orleans and a couple of others, Packers. But yeah, you always get guys with home records of 4-4 or 5-3 or 6-2 is normally considered to be a pretty decent home record in the NFL. But it's not as good as it is in soccer. But at this moment in time, like in this German league that I'm covering, it's just awful for the home teams. But I think NFL will be back to normal. I think SummerSlam will be back to normal. The thing is that this feels like it's taken forever.
Where are they saying SummerSlam is supposed to be?
Well, it's supposed to be in Boston, but it's not going to be in Boston. It'll get moved. It'll end up in Atlanta or Florida.
Mm.
So we're 10 weeks into this shit now, where this really got going with a lockdown.
Mm-hmm.
So we're 10 weeks in, but we are 12, 13.
Seems like 14, much more.
We're 14 weeks away from the NFL season. So you'd think this doubled would be the end of it. And that's, I think, how the NFL are thinking. To get to the original date for SummerSlam, we are looking at this doubled, or essentially 11 weeks away from SummerSlam. And then we're looking at three more weeks for the NFL. It's highly possible to me that this is all going to be done with, especially with the summer and people being outside and this thing don't get spread anymore.
I mean,
New York only had 100 deaths today, I think, yesterday.
It's very interesting, like how over here Memorial Day yesterday and everybody's out and about and on top of each other where you go, okay, matter of time now, it's going to be right back to shit because... I mean, the country did it to themselves, because if you lock someone up for so long, the second you are able to get outside, you're going to be laying on top of people. So what happened is, oh, and speaking of, the NHL will abandon the rest of the regular season and go straight to the playoffs with 24 teams if the NBA season plays. NHL.
The NBA. Well,
yeah.
But the thing is, a lot of this virus is about feel, in terms of when you normally are in May, you are looking forward towards the NFL season. We are looking towards practice games happening over the summer and whatnot. And at this point in time, I'd usually be looking at the end of the football season. This is the period, the quiet period for me normally, where my income takes a big hit because what I have to get through June and July. And then the soccer comes back and the NFL comes back and all my clients are coming back. I remember this time last year, the guys at the SGP were proposing a trip to Vegas and I was on the fence about whether I was going to go or not. And this was late May last year. So
I remember that.
This is usually the type of time where you start thinking about sports going away and then coming back. This is normally a real down period, but it flies by because it's the summer. Now, because of how we usually look at this time towards September, you just think, oh, the September's going to come around in no time. But when you feel how this last 10 weeks has felt, where it's just every day is just long and you're just sitting inside, a lot of people are, that's why I think when they're looking at September, they're going to go, oh, there's no way this is going to be done in September. That's because every fucking day feels like a week every time we're going through this entire time. But in reality, this period doubled is certainly going to be enough. I mean, already now, like, we're at the point where we're at the end of May and things are starting to open up. So I just don't think there's going to be any problem with restart. And plus, also, even if this second wave does come around, etc., the economies can't take this twice. So it is going to have to reach the point where it's going to be, hey, you need to be responsible for yourself. If you're fat or old, then it's up to you to stay in. It's not up to us to police it anymore, because we're having a fucking difficult enough job trying to get this economy back up and running. Plus, there's all these unemployed people and whatnot. So,
you know, like I was saying, it's because of the holiday here yesterday. So I go out to the boonies, to this lake. It's funny because it turns into Trump country when you go to the boonies. There's flags, everything like this, right? So I stop at like even a gas station, mini mart. And I'm like, oh, I got to go get something inside. So I'm searching for a fucking mask in my bag. But I'm seeing people walk in and out without fucking masks. So I carry my mask and I see there's no sign on the door. And that's like shocking, because over here where I live in the Bay Area, you can't go into the grocery store. You cannot go anywhere unless you put your mask on. You can't go inside anywhere. So it was like, what is this? So I went to a grocery store up by the lake. And they're like the tellers and shit like that, the clerks, no masks. Like, you don't have to have one to come in. And it almost feels bizarre now, because we've been beaten into submission for so long that now we're like, oh, you don't have to have a mask? I don't know. I'm fucking nervous now. And like, it was only the old people who were wearing masks. But at the lake, people were piled up. You know, all the boats were out there. It was fucking wild and shit. So it was like, oh, here we go. This might be fucking interesting. But it depends on where you are. So hopefully, I would love to have the SummerSlam thing happen, and I guess Hall of Fame happen at SummerSlam. But I don't think things are going to be, you know, packed for quite a while with, you know, selling the whole fucking all the seats. Like you're saying with NFL and everything, I think there is going to be that whole, you know, four seats in between everybody, and it's going to be half attendance, all smattered around. That's how I think it's going to end up. You think it's going to be full, like back to normal full?
Yeah, I do.
Wow. Well, I hope you're fucking right, but
because as I just said, it's been 10 weeks for us to get to this point. 10 weeks ahead is a long, long time. And you're only thinking it's not a long time because you're used to the normal of what May to September feels like. Mm-hmm. It's just normally freeze. You know, for me, as I said, sport stops. We get through the summer. It's nice and hot. There's a couple of tennis tournaments, French Open, Wimbledon, etc. And then by the time the US Open starts and in... you know, the US Open is usually the week after SummerSlam or the week before SummerSlam, depending on where SummerSlam is. And all that shit rolls around and it's the NFL. And it all pretty much comes together pretty quickly. This isn't going to be quick. This is going to be the longest 11 weeks of your life. Only second to the last 11 weeks. So I think that by that point in time, shit is going to start to get changed. And it's going to be on a very much a week-to-week basis. I think in 2 weeks' time over here, the shops are going to open with social distancing. 2 weeks after that, maybe like the bars and restaurants. 6 to 8 weeks will eliminate social distancing completely. And then I think in 10 weeks, cinemas open with all the stadiums and arenas. That I think is a better timeline for actually you guys. I think in certain states, that will be the timeline. I think here, for the size of the country we are, we've just had way too many deaths for us to do that. But
so I'm going to, since we'll get back to wrestling here, I'm going to give you topics. I'm going to give you probably about 6 different topics one by one. And I want you to give your opinion on each. How about that? Are you ready?
Go on.
Apollo Crews winning the U.S. title. Is this a good thing? Will he get a push? Will this be a failed experiment? Your thoughts?
I don't know how you can view it any differently to the Ricochet situation or Cedric Alexander or anything. I just feel that at the moment, the criteria for a black champion is not being met. And I feel that's always what it is. And I think it's too late to do this with him. I don't think that you can come into the company and lose match after match after match, year after year after year, and have us accept this. Because mm-hmm. for me, I'm looking at him as a temporary carrier for getting it off Andrade, who wasn't working and wasn't being booked properly, to getting it to Apollo, to getting it off the first heel that needs a reboost. Now, Drew is beating Rollins. He's going to beat Lashley. I don't know who he's going to be facing at SummerSlam because AJ Styles has been moved to SmackDown. But these are just two guys in the frame who will beat Apollo if they face him. So I don't think. I mean, who's he gonna defend his title against? He can have matches against Andrade. He can now face Angel Garza because Angel Garza's got the win this week to go for that belt.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Owens is being buried because he took time off, and that's about it. Other than that, he can only beat the guys that Drew's already beaten, and all the guys that face Drew are too good to lose to Apollo. It's a vicious cycle with this title. That's why it doesn't mean anything.
The Iconics. How soon? Obviously, we're getting Billy to turn on Peyton. So, are they high on Peyton being a singles star? Because obviously, she's the good-looking one. They're both brutal to listen to. The accents are fucking horrific. Go ahead. What were you saying?
For you?
Oh yeah, it's. I don't even know if it's the accent because I don't mind an Australian accent. It's from them. It's real fucking difficult. The way they sound like fucking chickens balking. But you see the whole Billy thing from last week where she slapped Peyton and then apologized for it. And then this week when they came out, they did their little standing bullshit where they usually hold hands and Billy just said fuck it and left. And Peyton's chasing her, and then Peyton went up the stairs, and Billy made like a look behind her, like, "Oh yeah, go ahead." And so we see that Billy's going to obviously turn on her soon enough. Do you know anything about them being high on Peyton at this point?
Not that I know of. I certainly wouldn't break them up because the only thing that they have going for them is each other. This act works collectively. They should utilize it in a non-wrestling way, the way they should utilize a lot of women in a non-wrestling way. There was a big thing this week with a wrestling guy on YouTube, JD from New York, going off. I mean, he's just the guy that he definitely listens to our show because he steals, literally cherry picks opinions and news from here and puts it on his YouTube channel.
Just the one about Alexa?
Yeah, the show is not particularly good from what I can understand. It's just a guy shouting as loud as he can. It's terrible content. But one of the things he did was compare Alexa Bliss to her wrestling to how she would be in bed, which was terrible. And he was getting a load of shit for it. And that's the thing. Once these big celebrities like Alexa or anybody in the WWE, once they can't take criticism and they put it out to their fans, and they're then basically indirectly but knowingly getting that person attacked
100%.
And then at the same time they're talking about everyone on social media bullying them and the victims and driving people to suicide. It's like, number one, don't do this fucking job if you can't take it, because mm-hmm. social media's been around for about 15 to 20 years, so you got no fucking excuse. If you sign up and you want the money and you want the fame, then you take the shit that comes with it. I've never once complained about anything anybody said to me on social media because I put myself in that position years ago. So they've got no right to turn around and cry about anybody, especially when you're Alexa Bliss and you've not learned how to wrestle. But the fact is that she falls into a category of a number of women that haven't improved their performance in the last 5 years anyway. It's Alexa, it's Peyton, it's Billy, it's Nia, it's who else? Naomi, Carmella, none of these people have improved at all. Their matches are like terrible and difficult to watch, but you're not allowed to criticize them. And what they'll do is they'll then retweet the criticism or whatever, and then everybody will then turn around and abuse them. And it even comes from people like Sonya Deville, who's going, oh, I hope I don't run into you. Number one.
Yeah, give me a fuck. What is she going to do?
Yeah, what are you going to do?
And she's going to punch him, I'm sure.
Yeah, so number two, you're talking about A, her talking about punching him. Braun Strowman is talking about him as a loser, Mark, who's never had sex and lives in his mom's basement. It's like, okay.
It's so, always the same line.
Yeah, but you're not in a position to say that, because that is stereotyping. And also, it's stereotyping against 90% of the fan base who you're saying it to, who look at it and go, I do live with my mum and I haven't had sex.
Yeah.
So it's so fucking dumb. These wrestlers are such fucking morons that I don't even understand. And all they did is they gave that guy the biggest number of hits on his next YouTube show. It's just the dumbness just goes round in one big circle of dumbness.
And I mean, it is true, because they all do the whole, oh, this guy bullied me and I don't stand for bullying. That's terrible. But you put it out there and then you see everyone attack. So it is exactly, and they know what the fuck they're doing. They're full of shit when it comes to that.
As I was going to say on the Russo show, I had it in my notes here. It's not here on this one because this is not the right show. Oh yeah, okay. The definition of bullying is to seek to harm, intimidate someone perceived as vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
So, example: her 11-year-old son has been constantly bullied at school. I don't perceive any celebrity as vulnerable. I perceive the person that they put out there to be attacked by the masses as the person that's vulnerable. So in fact, they become the bullies in this situation. And even that Japanese girl that killed herself at the weekend, that's nothing to do with anybody that said anything to her. She put herself in that position and she didn't have the mindset to be in the public eye, and she ended up killing herself. And all these people, they'll use these suicides to make themselves look good on their social media and be like, oh, we can't have this anymore and no more people need to die and this needs to stop.
But yeah, she's obviously mentally deranged. She kills herself from somebody yelling at her on fucking Instagram.
So all these people use this shit to big themselves up and to put themselves on a pedestal and to look like social justice warriors. But they're the ones that either they're doing the attacking or they're saying things to get other people attacked. Ryan Satin is one of the worst at this. He uses every situation to make it about himself. The Shad situation, he talked about how he cried the whole time.
Oh my God.
How he couldn't stop crying. And then the suicide situation, he turned it into, I hope everyone tweeting about the negative effects of cyberbullying truly live by what they are saying in the future.
Can this I tell Ryan Satin to go kill himself? Will that work?
Let's see what it says here. I see it far too often on here and unfortunately get a lot of it myself. At least once a week I'm told by someone on here to kill myself or I hope that I die.
I made his quota though.
I genuinely hope that he does die. And I don't, and that's not me being a terrible person. I just think he's a piece of shit.
And he's a phony motherfucker because he's a horrible fucking person.
I'm not done on himself. I wish I could say this kind of stuff doesn't affect me, but it does. My family has to see it too, which sucks because my brother dying makes them worry about me dying anyway. So before you hit, they're not worrying, they're wishing. Oh. So before you hit tweet on something, you'd never say it to someone's face. Remember how powerful words can be. That's a key part there. It's also very easy to say, just ignore them when you have no idea what it's like to have thousands of people tweeting you to say you're worthless, doesn't matter, or worse. First of all, if you would say it to your face, is that okay? Because I'd say it to your fucking face. I'd smash your fucking face in. I'd put you in a curb. Fucking face in, you piece of shit. Second of all, it says here, thousands of people tweeting to you that you're worthless doesn't matter. Thousands of people tweeting to you to say you're worthless don't matter or worse. That makes no sense. But, oh, no. Thousands of people are tweeting to him, you're worthless.
Yeah.
You don't matter or worse. Now, if you're getting that many tweets, why don't you kill yourself? Because surely you are worthless and you don't matter. So I don't understand. This is the thing where you shouldn't put yourself in that situation. Now, obviously, Ryan Satin is desperate to be famous and relevant. That's why when he gets on the WWE, he all of a sudden changes his opinion and
to whatever they need it to be.
It needs to be. So he knows how to play the fame game.
Mm-hmm.
So he doesn't fall into the category of this Japanese wrestler. He's never, ever going to kill himself. Unfortunately, we are not going to be that lucky to ever hear about Ryan Satin doing this. Now, the thing is that this girl, she didn't know how to play the fame game. She decided that she wanted to be a wrestler. She couldn't cope with the other side of it. And from what I understand, the tweets and things that were sent to her weren't even that bad. It was something along the lines of her attacking a stylist who did her ring gear wrong or something, and she was attacking the stylist, and people were like, oh, you need to fucking calm down or whatever, you're being unreasonable, or I don't know exactly what happened, but because I wasn't that interested in it until it became a thing where I tweeted something underneath Brian Alvarez's comment where I said, oh, finally the AEW women's title is back on a woman, and it set people like, you're the type of guy that made her kill us. I was like, fuck you. And my point is, anyway, is that it's not down to what is said on social media. It's down to the individual and being able to cope. And people that in the future that want to get into this fame game, no matter how they do it, they need to think about if they can actually cope. And unfortunately, no matter how much he tries to get people to sympathize towards him and be the good guy, Ryan Satin is just playing a game. He is somebody that can cope with it, unfortunately. And I speak on behalf of everybody on this podcast, Nick included. We do all want you to kill yourself, but we know it's not going to
throw Nick in the fucking fire.
Oh, come on. Is it gonna break your heart if that situation came? And the thing is, I'm now on a major podcast and I'm supposed to be watching what I say, but I know Vince Russo wants Ryan Satin to kill himself. Like,
here's the thing.
Instead
of him dying, what I would prefer, and I'll take back him dying. I'll rescind that whole thing. So,
can I take a guess? You want him to mess his suicide up and end up paralyzed?
No, not that even. Here's my negotiation. I'll take away my death wish, which, you know, obviously will happen. If I wish for it, it'll happen. Even though me winning the lottery's never happened, and I wish for that 8 billion times. That's what I laugh to. People go, don't wish for such a thing. I go, it like that works. If it was that easy, a lot of fucking things would have been solved by now. However, I'll take away my wish that he dies if he agrees to come on this show and debate you back and forth. I would take back my death wish for him then, just to have him and you get together on a show. Isn't that better?
Why?
Oh, because wouldn't you rather fucking talk to him and have it out over a fucking show? What, are you kidding? If he's dead, it's over.
What's to have out over a show? It's reached.
You hate his guts. He hates your guts. You don't think that's a good fucking show? He gonna tell you why you're a piece of shit? You're gonna tell him why he's a piece of shit. I'm gonna sit here in the middle and enjoy.
I'm still gonna want to put his head on the curb and smash his face in.
Oh, sure, but you could say that to each other. That's a difference. I would much rather that happen than he just drop dead. I want to hear you guys debate.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't hold your breath.
Oh, it'll never fucking happen. I mean, that's phony.
Who's from the information that you know that we can't talk about?
Yeah.
In reality, who is closer to?
Oh yeah.
Who's closer to the job that he wants? Even though he's there right now, he's not gonna get that job that he wants to do. He's just there. With a decision made by Fox with his dad his dad went to Fox. I don't know if WWE have anything to do with it, the same way they don't have anything to do with Ryan with CM Punk. It's Saturn who went to Fox because he's got the TMZ things. He basically said, I'm a TMZ guy who is involved now in wrestling, and they decided that he would be someone to have on. WWE and their wrestlers and whatnot are not approving of this at all. So he's never going to get the actual job that he wants. He's employed by Fox. So,
you know, with that Alexa tweet, I tweeted to her after she tweeted about this guy, how horrible it was. And I agreed with her, Billy. I said, you're 100% right. This is horrible that he said this about you, that you're lame in bed. He brings this up. This is 100% behind you. In fact, I think you should prove him wrong by releasing a tape. Don't you agree? That's she should prove. She's so adamant about this.
If there was one person that released that kind of tape on the roster, would that be your choice?
No, it's Mandy Rose.
Right.
Yeah, by far. And you know what? The funny thing is, I am really shocked that she did comment to this. Because, I mean, it's a guy saying that she's probably a fucking bore in bed. That's a fucking shock that she would be, like, replying to that. But she didn't, like, mention that. But the fact that that was even said is like, oh, shit. So the truth must hurt, though, because, you know, being a pretty girl like that, you know she's just fucking there. Come on. You tell me I'm fucking wrong about that?
Yeah, I don't imagine that she does too much.
No. And, I mean,
I would have made the same connection, I think, from between her wrestling and her in bed.
That was a big reach for the guy. He's like, her wrestling skills are the same as she is in bed. She's just there.
But I think the whole point is to get people to be entertained by your podcast.
Sure, and I had no problem with what that guy even said about it, because, I mean, it's more on the humor level and funny. So, I mean, people that, I'm so uptight and so upset by what he said, give me a break. And I laugh because, like, the tweet is deleted by him immediately, or the link, like, and then it has to be, like, videotaped from the fucking YouTube, from her phone or something. It's fucking weird, where I'm like, don't fucking... you know, because I've been on the receiving end where I think I said something to somebody, and all it takes is that famous person to respond, and every fucking nerd on the planet starts yelling at you. And it's like, give me a fucking break.
I mean, that was that weekend my Twitter account went. That was what happened. But it wasn't just, it was me versus everybody.
Like, yeah, they all came after you, which was, it's fucking ridiculous. I mean, I asked Renee a fucking question, and she responded during a show, and everyone fucking goes after me like, oh, he put you in your fucking place, burn, and this, and I'm like, what are you talking about? She replied to what the fuck I asked. I said something like, did she just mention that he's the only one to win this championship? Or something like this, right? Because I fucking... And she goes, I was referring to this. And I said, oh, okay. I'm mistaken. I thought you were referring to this guy. And that was it. And, she burned me. And it was like, oh, everyone just wants to latch on and be like, hey, Renee, look, I liked your comment. I'm your friend, right? You know, it's the very... It's a 1,000,000,000% nerd factor. That's all it comes down to. And it's like, holy Christ, I asked a question. Sorry about that. Like, I didn't go, oh, you're a fucking pig, you know? That's the even goofier one. I understand when people are insulting the other one and they're like, I'm going to stick up. At least that makes half fucking sense. But the other one is fucking weird.
I've put people on the other side of it. Like, but during my time at the height of my fame, or when people are actually following me for stuff that wasn't wrestling related or gambling related. I mean, I'd put people on the other side of it, but it's just, you have to have an understanding of the situation. Like, I've got no sympathy for, if you're famous and you've made it to that point where you have the verified tick and you've done certain things on TV. Mm-hmm. I've no sympathy for you at that point, whether your story ends up good.
Well, that's Derek Montilla.
Exactly. It's Derek. It's me. And it applies for me as well. I've never asked for any sympathy. I've never gone on there. And I've taken loads of shit off people as well, but I've never fucking cried about it like Ryan sat and go, oh, it's hard for me. It's hard for my mum and dad. Fuck you. Like, no, I don't give a fuck. You're literally one of the most dishonest, dick-sucking people on the internet I've ever come across. Plus, you're a fucking hypocrite. Because the thing is that he caused all of that issue for me with the fucking retweet and then putting out and then telling people to report. He was different to the wrestlers. He went on the whole path of, oh, he's arguing with everybody. Make sure that you report this account. He was the one that did that. And the people that did that, the whole report this account kind of stuff, they're the ones that need the fucking shit kicked out.
Yeah, the report. And you know what? And with Twitter, you report somebody saying good morning and say, you know, that was offensive, and they'll fucking suspend you. So they don't look at anything.
And whereas, like, I obviously have my position on the SGB and I have access to a big audience and whatnot, and landed on my feet somewhat with the wrestling stuff of Russo, everything doubles with the Verify account and that Verify in terms of having a connection with a brand new audience. And it's instant credibility. Now, I have to have everybody who joins the Russo show have to listen to me talk. They have to give the show a chance before they like me. And all the comments are relatively positive. I have to have people on the SGP. They have to listen to my bets. I have to be right about what I say. And I have to earn every bit of credibility, whereas I could have basically achieved. With the Verify tick, the difference is this. You have credibility before you even start. And then it's just your job to keep it. Whereas without it, you need to earn everyone's credibility. You need to earn credibility of everybody, one person at a time. So that motherfucker has taken thousands and thousands and thousands of pounds out of my fucking pocket. And you want me to come on here and go, yeah, I would be sad if he dies. Fuck you. I wouldn't be sad at all. Like, no, not at all. And I'm not going to sit here and have to, like, sugarcoat my comments. Like, this is, we do a realistic show where we tell the truth, and we'll always do a realistic show where we tell the truth. If he fucking drops dead, to me, he's fucking Hitler. If you're telling me the Jews didn't want Hitler to die during the war, then you're a moron.
Well, I mean, it's quite a stretch, but I do understand what you're talking about. He personally damaged your money, of course.
Of course, he's hurt a lot of people along the way. And I think accumulatively, when you look at what he actually provides and what good he does in general, then this guy can fucking drop dead. No one can. Seriously, what percentage of people who are aware of him, let's say 100,000 people are aware of who he is, right? And we should go by his Twitter follower account, but I can't be bothered to have a look. He's blocked me on everything. If we knew what he had, let's say
he blocked you on the new one?
Oh,
which is at Dirty Sheet Pod, right?
I don't think.
Or is it Dirty Sheet Jesus? Dirt Sheet
Jesus.
At Dirt Sheet Jesus, okay. If you want to follow Billy.
Okay, I've got 82,000 followers.
Okay.
Out of the 82,000 followers, how many do you think would be upset if he dropped dead today?
I don't know. I mean, half of those are probably bots, though.
All right. So that half of them, maybe.
I think a lot of just wouldn't care. I don't think they would have opinion one way or the other. Like, it'd be like, I mean, you want to jump up and down. Normal people, you'd be like, oh, okay. Yeah, it'd be it. No one would. It wouldn't affect their lives one way or the other. You just go, oh.
How many people do you think would be happy? Me, you, Nick, Vince Russo, Chris Jericho.
Yeah, and you know, I have hate by association from you guys, because you guys are my boys, and I was there when that all hell broke loose. And you know what? That's the first time I saw Nick, like, be, like, really fucking pissed off about shit. Because it's clearly somebody, you know, that is threatened by you guys, and he was doing all he could to stop you from being successful, which is like, well, if if this other guy is such a fucking talent, what would he care about your talent? Like, I do the same with anybody I want to go against in my world with a podcast. I say, I don't need you to fucking be banned. I just want to show everybody I'm so much fucking better than those people. You could, I want them all to hear you because I want them to know that I'm fucking better than you. He, on the other hand, wants you gone because you take away his fucking livelihood and audience by being better, not by sabotaging.
But it's like almost bringing it back round to, genuinely bringing it round to what the wrestling storyline is, where Edge turns around and says, I wanted to do this as a kid and I worked my way up from the bottom and you just got handed it by your dad. That is actually the same story here in terms of he was a TMZ reporter. His dad got him the job because his dad's a producer in Hollywood. And then he decides to go down from TMZ and decides to use his name to then cover wrestling. He already had all the verified ticks and everything. He already had a name from TMZ. So when you go from covering celebrity news to covering wrestling, you should automatically be the number one guy, which is why immediately Meltzer had a problem with him, and Meltzer doesn't have a problem with anybody. Mm-hmm. Because with that kind of with those kind of benefits, you should automatically clean up. You have the WWE probably want to talk to you.
Yeah.
But he played it like such a fucking moron and is so dislikable and hated by everybody that he couldn't even be the number one guy at that with all of the benefits. It's basically like coming down from and being like a massive NFL, being the number one guy in NFL, and then deciding to like come down and what, I mean, what's even below college? Canadian football?
Probably. XFL.
It's like fucking like John Madden finishing up in the XFL, yeah. It was just so easy for him to be credible, to get interviews, to basically be the number one person of this. And he fucking blew it. And then he saw us like coming over the hill and having a having all the news and information, but then not having to fucking clean up our content. He had no reason to be listening to us on the steel, listening to me on the steel cage and commenting about shit that he said on the steel cage. And that was one of the things he would constantly say to Derek and be in his ear, like, oh, you know, why do you guys podcast with that guy? Why do you? And at first, like, you know, Derek would tell me, he would say, oh, you know, Staten doesn't like you, but I always tell him that if you get to know him, he's a good guy. He just like comes across like that on the show. It's like, dude, you only know me from the show. We don't hang out. Like, so if you think I'm a fucking moron on the show, just like, because the thing is that everybody on the show was doing the show in this style before you got here. And this is something I spoke about on Russo's show this week, where I told you I would put you over on the show. So,
oh yeah, wait till you hear the opening of the Lingus Mafia podcast this week, by the way.
Oh, but the thing is that even though that was an agenda that I went in with that last week, it didn't mean that there was any lies told. It was,
of course,
the whole story at the start of Russo's podcast was true. And the thing is that I do connect you to Howard Stern, because I didn't give a shit about Howard Stern before you started talking about
it. Yeah. And now you see what has happened with Howard Stern. Yeah, everybody's falling off the fucking planet.
When we diverted this way, yeah. I think you had a list of questions and you...
I did. And you know what? Let's go through them quickly, because there's two at least you could really fly through here. Your thoughts on what the fuck are they doing with Natty? She's throwing tantrums and then apologizing, and where is this going? And like, she's being distracted.
She's been working there for what, 12, 13 years, right?
Yeah.
How could she not act? Like, her acting is fucking terrible. She's been on Total Divas, which I'm pretty sure is an acting show where you have to act every week. Now, she's on the phone and she's like, oh, hi. Oh, TJ. Oh, yes, TJ. Oh, no, TJ. First of all, nobody says the name that many times.
Yeah, that's fucking weird.
And then And it's like, he couldn't even, he didn't even have time to complete whatever sentences that he was probably saying before she kept going, before she then kept reiterating exactly what she'd done. She was like, oh, no, TJ, I just went out there and apologized. It's like, first of all, why is he not watching the show? And second of all, why are you telling him everything you've just done? And what is he saying in these like 2 second gaps to that you're responding to, and where you keep going, TJ, TJ? Like, dude, why didn't he just actually call her instead?
Yeah.
And then they just, why did they not, why did she not realize and go, you know what? I can't act. But it makes me wonder how many takes they use on Total Divas to get that show looking good. Because I mean, honestly, like, that's, you see, I find it easier to watch 3 episodes of Total Divas than I do watching an entire episode of Raw.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even make a real effort to watch it. I just like watch it sometimes when there's nothing on. If I've got some like time to kill,
yeah.
I was particularly interested in watching the series of Rousey on, which I started watching because I like her, and she comes across as a pretty, I mean, she's a weird person with her hunting and all that kind of shit, but she's not, she comes across as far more likable than all of them.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, she comes off as a normal fucking person more so.
Well, not even normal. I mean, it's not normal to,
well,
to
she live lives in the woods, you know.
Yeah.
Now, the other thing is, how about I can't fucking handle it anymore. This fucking challenge bullshit between the fucking Street Profits and the Vikings. I can't fucking take it. It's so fucking bad. I can't imagine that this is pitched and they go, oh, that's good, let's put it on television. It's fucking horrific. Like, I would never. I try to think of it like, okay, if I wrote this, would I go, oh, that's really funny? It's fucking not. It's bad. It's like fucking bad.
I think this is where you get to the point where you're desperate for anything out of the ring, like we said. But then it comes to the point where, are you really? Because this is what you get instead. So this is the best non-wrestling stuff they could come out of. It makes you just turn around and think that, fuck it, I might as well just have another match in this spot.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, there is a ton of better things to use. There's even better ways of doing what they are doing. Because if they did all these challenges and whatnot, they could have done them better than this. But, I mean, I would actually been interested if they just actually had a shoot game of basketball or a shoot game of golf or a shoot game of axe throwing. I mean, that wouldn't be the best, but it would be better than staging it. And the thing is that these two teams, they just look terrible. Like, the tag belts have now hit that place again where it's like the bottom, bottom, bottom of the show. And the Viking Raiders are supposed to be this tough, legitimate team. So that's the thing. The weirdest, when people say, oh, Drew's being too goofy and it's confusing to understand what his character is. But then what about when you come to like these teams? Because then how is it going to be believable when the Viking Raiders come into the ring and they're supposed to be taken seriously when they switch and do their like crazy offense? Like, how do the two things correlate? You have too many like characters doing this who are just like making big jokes outside of the ring and then being like monsters inside. Drew's doing it to a lesser extent, and he certainly didn't do it this week after it was brought up by Russo, because this week there was no fucking around at all.
Yeah, I was getting real fucking aggravated watching the them swinging at fuck. It was like the typical, they couldn't hit the club, they couldn't hit the ball, and they're slamming the fucking thing around. I was like, oh, fuck. What am I fucking watching? And what the hell? Oh, now they're going to bowl next week? Fuck me. I just can't. I can't imagine. The Montel Vontavious Porter, I can't take him. He jumps around too much, and he's got to calm down. I can't fucking handle it. It's too much. Too high strung, this motherfucker. Another thing was, how about Seth with Austin now, Austin Theory, and I kind of like the whole thing where they made Aleister Black stay in the ring. Otherwise, we're going to take Humberto's eyeball out, you know, and he's got a new disciple with Austin. So it fits better than what he was doing with Zelina.
Yeah, it didn't fit that group, and I don't think he was ever supposed to be in there. But then that group in itself, obviously with the two guys now, they just seem interchangeable. So Andrade's now pissed off, and now Garza's got one win, which is all it takes in this show, able to be a contender for Apollo. But I don't know where Owens goes from here, because Owens beat Rollins at WrestleMania, and now he took some weeks off, and he comes back and he loses. But we've seen that with everybody. We've seen Roman Reigns edited out. We've seen The Miz come back and lose. Like, this company's so childish. They really are so childish.
The last one before we go and wrap it up. How do you think they're doing with the whole Lashley and McIntyre story? Drew seems to be trying to build him up and saying stuff like we overhear him obviously saying, you know, be the monster that you should be. You know, I want the real fucking Lashley, you know, come with your intensity, with not this other bullshit. So he's building him up to, you know, and then Lashley's now with a black chick on Raw, apparently, if you noticed Lana's color yesterday.
And
she obviously listens to the show, because did you see she toned down her screaming this week? It's like she had a scream, but she didn't go overboard, but she still screamed. And I was like, oh, my God. But she was fucking, she's darker than Hogan. She was fucking, literally when she came on the screen, like she pops in real quick and it's close. I didn't know who the fuck it was for a bit. I was like, who the fuck, because she's got the dark hair now too. And I was like, who is that? I didn't even know it was her. So your thought, and he finally, and McIntyre finally got a good t-shirt.
Oh, I didn't see it. I didn't notice it.
It said, talk less, clay more.
Yeah, you like different t-shirts, though.
So. Yeah, I like words. I don't need a fucking romance novel picture on the front.
Well, no, I didn't like the romance novel one, but I like... I do like when they go with like a cartoony thing. Like, I mean, like I didn't mind the Wolfpack t-shirt with the wolf on it or anything. NWO was okay.
Yeah.
But I mean, as far as Drew goes, I like that one with him with the sword across his face, but not the romance novel one, the other one.
Yeah, those both didn't do it for me. I don't like a picture of somebody on a shirt, really. I don't care how it is. It's like it just rings those Cena shirts in my face. I'm like, how terrible. Cena doing a fucking deadlift. Like, who would wear that shirt?
I don't know, but I don't mind it for certain guys. And I don't mind the Bray t-shirts with the Bray face on them. I think they're pretty good. Mm-hmm. I guess it depends what you like. But I don't mind there's a new t-shirt here with an M on it, which is not worn yet, which looks pretty good.
Yeah, see, I like that kind of thing. That's fine. And like you said, with the Bray face, that's different too, because that's, you know, hell, people wouldn't know what that was. Like, you could wear that somewhere, you know. So, what's your thoughts on how they're getting there? And I keep forgetting. I go, man, the next pay per view is quite a fucking while from now.
Well, I mean, the main thing that I think is that they should have, and I think Drew McIntyre thinks this too, is that they should have held off on this one, because Lashley is a believable challenger, because I think everybody knows that he should have been in this position a long time ago. And when he gets into this position, it's believable. And internally, Vince McMahon has always wanted him to do better than he has, which is weird, because it's not real fucking sport. So you want him to do better, then
just make him win.
Right.
Yeah, because his in-ring work is fine. There's no like, oh, he sucks. He's as good as anybody else is.
Exactly. And this thing with MVP does work. But the thing is, it would be a lot more believable if he won for months and months and months, and this was the match at SummerSlam.
Yeah.
Because, as I said, we talked about this earlier, how this period feels like a long time. WrestleMania was... 8 or 9 weeks ago, and it feels like Drew's been the champion for ages already, which is not a good thing. Mm-hmm. But when we fast forward to 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks of Backlash, that's not going to be enough time for people to think that Lashley's going to win, because he's not going to win. And I feel that he's going to get two title shots in a row as well, just because there's no challenger. So if he'd won all the way to SummerSlam, then he would have been a lot more believable. And you'd actually think, oh, this thing with MVP is good. Lashley hasn't lost for 2 months, 3 months. And maybe they are going to change the belt and put it on this black champion and change over, because
that should have been the first black champion too, by the way.
Right. And that will be believable at that point, but it's not believable that he's going to win at Backlash or the pay-per-view afterwards. What they need to think about now is who's going to actually get the shot at SummerSlam, because when you look through the roster, Orton and Edge are going to have their match. Edge is going to lose this next one, mm-hmm. and they're going to be level, and they're going to set up the final match at SummerSlam with a crowd. So they're busy, and they're the only two that are ready to challenge. Owens has just lost this week. AJ's gone to SmackDown. Undertaker's going to be on SmackDown as well, from what I understand, when he comes back. And I think they want him on Bray's, the title that they want him to go for, which is what this redemption storyline is going to be on the last ride. It's going to be like one more run or whatever, mm-hmm. I think. But he could... He's saying he wants one more good match, but I think the way they're telling the story is going to be one more title run on the route to that one last good match as well. I don't know if anybody wants that, but I think that's what you might get. But regardless, he's going to the SmackDown side of things. So you got nothing here except bringing Brock back for a rematch, and Brock can't necessarily lose that rematch, because then he has nowhere to go as well, other than going on to SmackDown soon. So what can you really do with Drew in the summer? You can drop the title and then set up for a match number 3 at like Hell in a Cell or something in October, which is probably what I think that they might have to do, because you run through the roster and you tell me in a SummerSlam opponent, unless you face, and you can't use Seth Rollins again.
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking that this match will be a really non-finish, so they can, you know, then somebody's gets another shot in front of him so they can get to SummerSlam again. Like, you never did beat me. And, like, he just got put, you know, in the back of the line and it never got finished.
Well, who's that guy then?
Like, who's next after this? Who is a bad guy out there? Jesus Christ. I'd have to look at a fucking roster. I can't even think of anybody off the fucking top of my head that's on Raw.
Well, there isn't anybody on Raw that hasn't had a load of losses.
Yeah, I mean, it's Rollins is the next fucking guy that's doing anything.
That said, like, Orton and Edge are busy with each other.
Yeah. Yeah, the, otherwise yeah, I mean, it'd be... Does Orton get fucked over by Edge to lose?
You could have Orton beat Edge and then get the shot at the next, jump ahead and get the shot at the next pay per view.
Yeah, but and then Edge fucks him, right? Which could get them then to SummerSlam.
But I don't think anybody's fucking anybody in Drew's run where Drew needs any help.
Yeah, that's true. And also, why would Edge fuck over Orton if he could have him win the belt so he could win the fucking belt from him?
Yeah, so. There's really nobody. I mean, unless you can miraculously build up Andrade from out of nowhere, or bring somebody. I mean, the other thing they could do is bring up Adam Cole from NXT as soon as he drops that title.
You imagine the size difference. He's up to Drew's waist.
Well, listen, he's going to AEW anyway, as far as I know, so he might as well come in and lose one on his way out.
Yeah, all right. Well, let's wrap this up. Where can everybody find you, Billy?
I'll be on Vince Russo's show again on Saturday at Russo's brand. Now, I'm the one that doesn't know whether the S is on that or not. I'm doing what he does. I'm sure it is. Russo's
in the Realm brand. Network.
Yeah, the Realm Network.
There you go.
My soccer packages are available at lockbang.com, along with UFC stuff as well. We lost money tonight, so I'm not one of these people that don't mention when we don't.
I was just going to say, look at that. See, he says when they lose.
But it's usually we don't lose again. So if you weren't, if you didn't suffer these losses with us tonight, tomorrow is a good time to jump in and get a package, because it's likely that we're going to have a winning day. I'm really going to get my fucking head down now tonight and look through these odds and statistics and whatever. The problem is that all the data at the moment doesn't match up. I mean, I do that anyway, and all the data at the moment doesn't match up to everything that happens when the fans were there. So I'm having to disregard 25 games of data and now just look at the last three games that have happened.
Mm-hmm.
And all freaky deaky shit with, I mean, home teams winning, what percentage did I say earlier?
It was like 18% or something.
No, it's less than that, because it was 16.6% going in. Let me see. I had it on my calculator. It's got to be the last thing. Yeah, it's something like that. I think it was 13%. So, where's the calculator on my phone?
Swipe up. Or swipe from the right top corner.
It's basically 3 divided by 23.
Okay.
Which is 13, yeah. We're gonna figure that out anyway. .com. And then obviously the dirtysheets.com or dirtysheets.net, either one, for all of the wrestling stuff. Gonna put up some news this week. The Adam Cole thing I just talked about, I might write up a little bit more about it, because we saw that he was spotted out with the AEW people, and my understanding is that he's more interested in going there than he is signing a new WWE deal, which he stalled on. But they can't put the belt on the Velveteen Dream, because the Velveteen Dream may or may not be a paedophile. So they don't know at this point.
All right. And go ahead.
Never talked about that, ever. That's like your wheelhouse. Not paedophilia, but... but
thank you.
Internet scandal, I would think, would be more...
Yeah, maybe we'll get into that next week when your story's out, and we could dive deeper into it then, so people can go and read your story first, and then we'll talk about it. If you want to see all my nonsense, everything's at Lingus Mafia. My own podcast is Lingus Mafia Podcast, and we don't talk about wrestling at all. It's a bunch of nonsense, but it's sports and everything else. So follow me over there, Instagram, Twitter, Lingus Mafia. And Billy... we're out of time.